Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Meeples and Mishaps, the podcast where we take weird games and talk about them, or something to that effect. Today we have a pretty special game. It is in the hearts of most children from this current generation, I guess. I played it a lot as a kid and got very frustrated a lot as a kid. Today we're going to be talking about the game Mousetrap. Hit us with that info, Kalen.
Yeah, so Mousetrap. Mousetrap is one of those classic games that pretty much everybody's heard of. Everybody knows the crazy contraption, and you're moving the mice around and you're trying not to get caught by the mousetrap. It's one of those games that has those super unique and creative kind of toys within the game. But it's on this podcast because, as anybody who's played it, sometimes the mechanism just doesn't quite work right. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the mechanics and kind of how the idea came about for this game. And then we'll talk about some of the different editions and how to play and so on. So let's start with the box. Now, like I said, there's been three editions. So the rules and the gameplay have changed a little bit. But for the most part, the object of the game has pretty much stayed the same. So players take turns building the mousetrap as you move around the game board. Then you use the mousetrap to try to capture your opponent's mice. That pretty much sums up the entire game. Originally, you were actually building the trap as you moved around the board. And then ultimately, once it was all built, then you capture a mouse, and it's the last person with a mouse running around that wins. The newer version that came out probably in the last decade or so, you actually build the entire mechanism at the beginning, and then you're collecting cheese pieces. And the first one to a full wheel of cheese is a happy mouse.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up the way the game has evolved throughout the years. This first game was designed in 1963. It was actually designed by four game designers. It was Gordon Barlow, Marvin Glass, Harvey Kramer, and Burt Meyer. What's interesting is these four guys have, well, at least we know three of them have made games that, well, guess what? You know all these games. Gordon Barlow made a game called Stay Alive. It's a little bit kind of like Jenga. Marvin Glass did Ants and Pants, Operation, which, I mean, who doesn't know about Operation, right? Burt Meyer, he also made the Rock'em Sock'em Robots that still are being sold by the thousands today because it was a very unique game. And Harvey Kramer, well, he was another designer on this, probably worked for Hasbro or something. But this is one of those games where just a bunch of minds got together and was like, hey, let's team up and make this. And what's really cool, this game was designed, this wasn't technically an original idea, not by these designers. It was actually from the idea of a guy named Rube Goldberg. And who was he, Kalen?
Well, so Rube Goldberg, yeah, it's R-U-B-E. That's kind of an interesting name. He was born in 1883. He lived into the 1970s. Yeah, well, okay, so his real name was Reuben Goldberg, but everybody called him Rube because that's pretty cool, right? So he was a cartoonist primarily, but he did a lot of sculpting, authoring, engineering, inventing, so on. But really, really what he's known for is he had these cartoons, just little cartoon strips, what they would be considered like a political cartoon or something like that. But instead of being political, like most of them were back in the day, his were always some sort of engineering mechanical gizmo that was always something super simple taken to the absolute extreme. And they were always really funny because of how complicated they were just to do something so simple. And so, for example, if you were to go to the Wikipedia page and look up Rube Goldberg, there's a really great photo of the self-operating napkin. And basically, it's a man sitting at a table, and he's about to eat some soup, and he's got this big mustache that he knows he's going to get some soup in. And so there's this napkin that's attached to a clock, and every time the clock swings, it's going to wipe his mustache off with this clock. So it sounds like a great idea, but there's actually like 12 steps for this to actually work. And so it begins with, as he raises the spoon to his mouth, that pulls a cord, and then that pulls a spoon, and the spoon shoots a cracker up, and the parrot goes and gets the cracker, which drops the flakes into the bucket, and so on and so on. And there's a rocket, and there's a lighter, and there's a sickle, and it's just absolutely crazy. It's all attached to his head, and there's all these things coming off of it, all just so that he doesn't have to wipe his mouth with his napkin after he eats the soup. So, I mean, this really personifies who Rube Goldberg was and, like, what he did. And all, like, if you can go find his books at, you know, anywhere, you know, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever, and the books are just hysterical because they're all just so ridiculous. And so then we come to 1963, where there's these four game designers who decide, we need to make a new game. Let's make a game based on something that Rube Goldberg would do. Let's not tell him.
because he actually designed one of his cartoons was a mouse trap to catch a mouse. You know, we typically think of a mouse trap, the little thing, you know, that little piece of block of wood. You pull the metal back, you set it. When the mouse comes and grabs the cheese, it snaps and, you know, breaks the mouse's neck, and it's gory. But he created this mousetrap with one of his cartoons that set off a sequence of events. You know, a ball drops in here, it launches this guy, he lands in a basket, it hits this thing, this marble runs down the wall, and eventually the cage falls and captures this mouse. You know, 20 steps to catch a mouse, because he took the most mundane everyday things and created these crazy contraptions to make just one simple thing happen. And so, yeah, that's what gave them the inspiration to make this game.
So enter Mousetrap. Now, if you've never played Mousetrap or seen Mousetrap, we've given you a little bit of an idea of kind of how wacky and zany it is. It is kind of clever. There's like a hand crank, and once it cranks enough, you know, it knocks this thing and the ball falls into the bathtub, which drops the ball. There's a boot that swings and kicks the ball and it goes down a lever or like a ramp. And then there's like a guy in his swimming trunks that one of the ball hits and he flies into the bucket, which ultimately knocks the mousetrap off. So we've described this game pretty thoroughly. Hopefully you're looking at our Instagram or something so you can see some of these photos. So it at least makes sense if you've not played this game. But let's actually get into gameplay and then we'll kind of get into part of why we're talking about this game too.
Yeah, absolutely. So gameplay for Mousetrap, it's a game for 2 to 4 players. The age is about, you know, 6 and older. And so we're talking today about the original 1963 version. We'll talk a little bit more about the other ones later, but we'll start with the original game and how it was designed to play. So with Mousetrap, you have a big square board with most like Candyland and things like that. You know, you have a path that you follow with your game pieces. So each player gets a little mouse standee. You set a bunch of little cheese slices to the side, and you set all of this crazy trap contraption to the side, and you get ready to build it. So on your turn, you will spin the spinner or roll the dice, depending on the version of the game that you're playing, and it'll tell you how many number of spaces to go. Basically, you go those spaces, and whatever you land on, it says something on those spaces. Sometimes the space can say, gain a cheese. Sometimes it can say, go back 2 spaces or move ahead 4 spaces. But typically, the spaces that you're going to land on, they'll have certain numbers on them, depending on how many people are playing, is what you'll activate on that turn. So some spaces say 2, some say 2, 3, 4, some say 2, 3. So if you're playing a 2-player game, pretty much any space you land on. If you're a 3-player game, you build when you land on 2, 3, 4 or 2, 3, and so on and so forth. So when you land on one of those spaces, you take the very first piece of the trap and you lay it on the board. There's like little inserts for you to start putting the little pieces of the trap on. And then you just keep going, taking turns, roll the dice, move your mouse, do what the space says. If you're the next person that lands on a number, great, you grab contraption number 2 and start building it on until you've had, I think, is like 22, 23 separate pieces until the trap is completely built. So until the trap is completely built, you're taking turns rolling dice, going around the board, collecting cheese, stealing cheese in some cases, basically just collecting as much cheese as you can, because when you have those cheese actually allow you to spend so you can set the trap once the trap is going, or to move a mouse. For a little bit more of the advanced rules there, you can actually move a mouse some spaces if you spend enough cheese when they're in the cheese wheel space or the loop, which you'll see on the game board. And so basically once you get the trap set up and built, then you can start entering this area called the loop, that you just keep going in circles. And if you land on the cheese wheel and someone's in the loop, they can spend a cheese to spring the trap. And like we were talking about, this trap is ridiculous, because once you set the trap, you turn the crank, which rotates the gears, causing the lever to move and push the stop sign against the shoe. The shoe tips the bucket holding the metal marble. The marble rolls down the rickety stairs and into the rain gutter, which leads it to the helping hand rod. And this causes the other metal marble to fall from the top of the helping hand rod through the thingamajig and bathtub, landing on the diving board. The weight of the metal marble catapults the diver through the air and into the washtub, causing the cage to fall from the top of the post and trap the unsuspecting mouse. And in the original version, once you trap a mouse, that mouse is out of the game and you keep on playing till you are the last mouse standing.
Now, it should be noted that in the new version, like we've mentioned a few times, instead of being the last mouse standing, now you have to collect these cheese pieces. What do you think of that as a mechanic, Corey? Do you think that's better or worse?
I get the reason why this newer version, they wanted to go ahead and have the mousetrap already built, because growing up, I know that I had the original 1963 version as a kid. So I remember having to build this thing, and it honestly took forever to build the thing. It wasn't as fast as I think they were hoping when it was probably designed. It did take a little bit to build, which caused the gameplay to go a little long. And I mean, when you're like a 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid, it can get annoying trying to build this thing, even though it is kind of self-explanatory and they got a little, book to go with it. But I understand why these newer versions, they wanted to streamline gameplay, make it a little faster. And the collecting cheese seemed a little more, easier to win, because sometimes the rules state if the mouse trap does not go off properly, then it's a failed attempt and you just reset the trap and keep on playing, which happens a lot in this game. When you're playing, the trap doesn't go according to plan. Maybe the guy gets launched a little too far, or he didn't set it on there just right and he launches to the side, and or the little trap gets stuck at the top of the rod and doesn't make it all the way down. So I can see why the newer version, they wanted to go ahead and speed up gameplay. Hey, if you collect 6 cheese, you know what? You're good. Because in the new one, if you get trapped in the trap, you just actually go back to the beginning and lose all your cheese. You're not out of the game at this point. So I think they did that to speed things up and to make it easier to win, because it took a long time to catch everybody's mouse in the original game.
And then, of course, we can't forget that nowadays people want games to be more inclusive. And so, obviously, if you're the first one to the trap and then you get caught in the old game, you're out. And, no one's just going to sit there and watch. I feel like there's very few people in the world who enjoy watching other people play board games.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a few of us out there. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of a bummer when you've put all this time into building this thing and then, you're out. Go do something else while we finish this game. So obviously, including the cheeses now, it just keeps everybody playing until you're done. So, yeah, I definitely see why, and I think there's a pro and a con to both.
Yeah, I agree. Which, I mean, I kind of liked the getting to build the thing. The game. See, I like games that actually take a little longer. I like investing a lot of time in board games, and so I don't mind long games, and I don't mind the mechanic of having to build a trap as you go, because it's a pretty unique thing, especially for the time. This may have been one of the first or the first, modular board or, something you had to build in the game, so it was a game changer when it came out. It just didn't quite work all the time, but I mean, I kind of like that idea of getting to build it as you play. It made things kind of interesting, like who's going to build that last piece, who's going to, you know, get ready to spring the trap. And so, but I know in today's age, it's a little harder to play longer games. A lot of people like something quick, fast, you know, they can take and play with their family, that introduce them to board games. They don't have to spend a lot of time, and especially kids, you know. In fact, like, I'm pretty sure, as I played this a lot as a kid, we decided to not necessarily play it by the rules. We would just build the trap and just try to see how crazy we could spring a trap and, like, alter the modular board a little bit to see how far we could launch the little guy, you know, things like that. So I bet kids are still doing that when they play it.
I would imagine so. Well, let's get into a little bit of why we're talking about this game. We've mentioned it some, but ultimately this game is fun. It's got some kind of, it's definitely interesting. The whole Rube Goldberg just kind of craziness is cool. It's not something you really see much nowadays. There's a few games, I mean, you could think of like Junk Art, where you're trying to like build, you know, certain things with all these just kind of crazy pieces. But that's even different. That's kind of almost more of like a dexterity type game rather than just this crazy contraption. There were other games like Goofy Golf Machine. I don't know if you ever saw that one, Corey, but it's like a putt-putt game. But there's like this giant windmill that you shoot the ball into, and then it goes up, and then it like pops out one of the directions, and you're trying to get a ball into each of the different holes. And it was fun. I remember having that as a kid, and like, it was definitely some dexterity, but then just the whole mechanism was just crazy. But with all of these contraption type games, there definitely comes a risk of, well, I mean, there's multiple risks, right? Like, okay, you lose a piece. Well, you can't play the game
anymore.
You break a piece.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Well, you can't play the game anymore.
Especially this game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you lose one thing, there's absolutely nothing you can do. I watched a video of some people playing it, and like the table was just slightly off. I suppose they probably could have like shoved something down underneath the legs to try and level it out. But it was like the table was just off enough that every time they did it, something would not work. Or they would like start cranking it and the mousetrap would fall. I was like, well, that doesn't really count because the whole rest of the contraption didn't work. And just this tiny little trap that's dangling on this stick keeps falling because they're either, you know, too hard on it or... You know,
and yeah, you like bang the table, it goes.
Like you don't have those motor skills, right? So yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, I guess in a way, this is kind of my final thoughts, right? Like, it's a really cool game and it's a really awesome concept. And I mean, I think the creativity aspect of it would be fantastic for kids, just to kind of see, like, yes, this is engineering at its finest. This is how you can build and create and anything you can think of, yeah, you can do it. But then after you've done it once or twice, you've seen how it works, there's not a whole lot more you can do with it. And like we talked about, I like that they added the cheese instead, because I would hate to get all the way to the end and then, you know, just have to be out and you just have to sit and watch or, you know, go to the other room. So I think this is a game that I would get for my kids. Obviously he's almost four, so he's, you know, he's not even at the age yet to where he could fathom building this, but eventually down the road when he's kind of more into those creative block building type things, I think this would be a really fun game for him. But for adults, sure, play it once for nostalgia. And then maybe give it to your niece and nephew for Christmas.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, I remember having some good memories of this game as a kid, and just because it is definitely unique, it is one of those games where they were just like bringing something new to the table when they designed this. Because, I mean, Rube Goldberg, I mean, he's a freaking genius, you know, coming up with some just hysterical things. Why not try to capitalize on that and, you know, make a game after that or whatever it is you want to do? But yeah, as far as the game, exactly, it's cool to do once, but once you kind of get the feel of it, and it just doesn't hold up, and it doesn't really stay fun. You just get more frustrated than anything, because just like in engineering and things like that, when things go wrong, they go wrong. It has to be perfect, you know, and this game, it's just so much can go wrong when you're trying to set that trap. And I understand that's part of the rules. You know, if it doesn't work, then it's a failure. But it just happens so much where it's like, I've got the mouse on that, I got to the crank, I spent my cheese to set the trap, and each time the stinking trap just doesn't work. It gets really frustrating when it's out of your control, because nobody likes playing games where things happen where it's out of your control. So yeah, I like you said earlier, I definitely appreciate the newer version that they did add the whole, you know, collect full wheel of cheese, and you know, you win the game. Because yeah, I'm also not a fan of elimination style games where, you know, someone's out and then they have to sit and watch, because not everybody likes that. You just don't have as much fun because you're like, well, I got out early and now there's nothing I can do but sit here or go grab a sandwich, whatever it is. But you know, the newer version, I would say pick up the newer version if you're going to invest in this game. Maybe buy the 60s version if you can on eBay, just to have, to say you have the original, but definitely stick with the newer remade version. You'll have more fun with that with your kids. Definitely a kids game. Definitely something cool for your kids to actually play, because they get to see engineering. They get to see just a fun way to catch a mouse or to have a little bit of fun, but they will get bored with it fairly easily, and it will break, and you won't be able to use it anymore, because that's just the nature of how this game works. And yeah, I guess that's definitely my final thought too. Also, I would like to add, if you would care to go to YouTube, look up the life-sized mousetrap crushes car video, because there is a guy who designed a real life-sized version of this mousetrap, and it is pretty insane. It's very cool, actually. So that's probably the coolest thing that's come out of this game, is someone designed the real-life version of it. But yeah, that's Mousetrap.
All right. Well, as always, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed the episode, or if you have any thoughts or opinions or questions you want to weigh in on this, we'd be happy to talk to you. Hit us up on any of the social medias. Otherwise, we appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you next time.